Roll call. Catherine Beinkoffner.
Here.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Tom Kakandis is on his way. James Gordon.
Here.
Margot Becker.
Here.
Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Larry Rickey.
Here.
Angelina Brandt.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Okay. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any public comments?
Do we have any public?
We have any public. The press.
Dr. Beinkoffner, sometimes we receive, well, often we receive comments through our website, and occasionally some of them stick out to me, and I'd like to share them with the board if that's appropriate this time.
This sounds like a good time. It's public comment time.
Okay. So these are all from May. You want to pass that around? Mm-hmm. May 4th, we were contacted by Lizette Edge, who said, I'd like to make a public comment. I love what the UCRRA is doing. Wanted to say that I personally benefited from the amazing compost. Okay. It's an amazing, valuable resource in our community. Lily delivered amazing compost, helping my family enjoy our beautiful garden. Another comment from Victoria Martin. Her comments read, I've established a half-acre no-till garden in a field that's 90% clay by accessing your affordable quality compost. This has only been made possible with Willie's assistance. He is filling a service gap for small-scale growers, and I could not be more grateful to him. Please do everything in your power to preserve his services. A lot of growers will become cost-burdened without it, as we do not have the transportation means to pick it up for ourselves, and we do not need the amount of compost that would be made affordable by buying it in massive quantities. And the last comment on the back is actually from our Facebook page. You can rate us and leave reviews on our Facebook page. So this is a review from B. Rue. What an incredible resource for the community. We just ordered 2 tons of the most gorgeous compost you've ever seen, and Willie was kind enough to deliver it all straight to our driveway for a nominal fee. We would not have been able to transport the compost otherwise, and are so grateful he offers this service. We would have been using the compost to regenerate many of the plants and trees on our properties, and it is working wonders. We're also going to use it in a small veggie garden. We couldn't imagine buying all the individual bags of compost for the store. First of all, the amount of plastic waste involved would be tremendous. And secondly, it would be incredibly expensive. Willie's compost and delivery are a true blessing. Thank you for offering this. So I offer those comments for the board.
Sounds like people are ready for gardening.
Mm-hmm. I know I am.
I'm just working on my blueberry plant and my razzleberries. I've got more coming in the mail to do this weekend. Let's see. The chairman's comments. I just want to check. Do we have bifusion in our list of things to discuss?
Yep.
Okay, great. Just wanted to check on that. Okay. So the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve of the minutes?
So moved. Second.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes from the April 28th meeting?
Aye.
I guess we have four.
Four. One abstention.
And one abstention. Communications and announcements. The next board meeting is scheduled for June 23rd at 4 p.m. in person. Is that okay with everybody at the
moment?
Okay. General reports, recycling outreach team program update.
Thank you. This is another big update for me. Spring's a really busy time for our recycling outreach team this month. We're celebrating International Compost Awareness Week, which is an initiative of the Compost Research and Education Foundation of the U.S. Composting Council. It's celebrated during the first full week of May, and the goal of this campaign is to raise public awareness about the benefits of making and using compost. Includes a poster contest, and this year the theme is Recipe for Regeneration, recognizing the role of compost in regenerative agriculture practices. I'll also note that Governor Cuomo declared May 6th through 12th as New York State Compost Awareness Week back in 2018, and the NYSAR Organics Council has a subcommittee for Compost Awareness Week efforts statewide, which I'm a part of. So this year we celebrated Compost Awareness Week with a series of special programs and outreach initiatives, including a free screening of the documentary Just Eat It, a food waste story at the Orpheum Theater in Socrates. So I want to thank Michael Darcy from the Department of Environment, Mary McNamara from Socrates Transfer Station, and our recycling educator, Tanisia, for being panel speakers for the post-film Q&A. Tanisi and I also hosted our spring classes about composting. So we did a free webinar about vermicomposting or composting with worms. And we held an in-person intro to composting workshop at the Town of Plattekill Public Library. Our compost bin and rain barrel sale on Saturday, May 7th was very successful. A couple photos provided for you in your board packet. We received over 90 orders and distributed about 55 rain barrels and 50 different types of composting units. We also distributed 76 educational composting kits to Ulster County participants, and an additional 7 media kits were distributed throughout the month. During the compost bin sale event, members of Cornell Cooperative Extension were our first visitors at our home compost demonstration garden. Maybe you noticed on your way in today. We did a very soft launch on May 7th, but I want to thank the 4-H Youth Development Team for choosing us to partner with for their civic engagement project. We had some children come in, and we received support planting a native pollinator crop in the raised garden beds out in the garden. We hosted a couple tours. We did a composting tour for the town of Hurley and a recycling facility tour for the Kingston YMCA Farm Project BART crew. And all of these events and programs I'm describing reached 165 adults and 13 youth participants this month, totaling 17.25 hours of direct community engagement. Tanisi and I also responded to 103 recycling hotline phone calls this month, which is an additional 8.3 hours of educational services over the phone. Social media promotions all month long focused on the benefits of composting, how to use compost, how to choose the right bin for you. And our campaign correlated with this topic on our radio public service announcements on Radio Woodstock WDST. So while we're focusing on composting this month, this is a good opportunity for me to bring up a special grant opportunity that I'd like to talk to you about before I transition to that. Do you guys have any questions about ICAO or any of the services I just went over?
I do. The town of Socrates has a composting operation?
They do.
Oh.
Yeah, 4 town transfer stations in Ulster County have a composting service.
Okay.
That's and which 4 are those?
That would be the town of Marbletown, the town of New Paltz, Socrates, and Rochester.
And I know Marbletown because I lived there. It's a partnership with a private company that comes and picks it up. New Paltz is different, but what about the other ones? Are they also pick up?
So, yes, Socrates and Marbletown have acquired a pickup service, so just like a subscription service. And then New Paltz Compost on site, and Rochester actually delivers the food scraps here to our facility.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much New Paltz. I met with the superintendent there today to talk about brush grinding again, because they picked up a tremendous amount of brush, and I'm not quite sure how much food waste they're actually bringing in and how much compost they're doing. Huh. And he couldn't answer either, because I didn't see much activity going on, and I didn't see anything on the pipes. So and they didn't do much last year when they reported, right, Andrew? It was only a couple tons.
Last year they reported 4.9 tons for the year.
Food waste,
which is significantly low. Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure. I'm sure they're still accepting it because they did have residents bringing it in. Dave, Jim, you live in New Paltz, right? Do you bring any food waste into New Paltz?
I don't, but I have a big backyard, so I compost in my house.
You compost it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know they still collect it, but they're not doing, they didn't do much last year, and I'm not quite sure if they're doing a lot this year.
And what about the other ones? Do we know how much they're?
I do. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head.
Or does it seem like a little or a lot?
Well, it's relative to the size of their transfer station as well, right? Like, Socrates has a lot of permits, so they may have a little bit more than smaller towns, for example, so.
When Rochester brings us some, it's usually less than a ton, and it's not every month either, so it can't be too much.
Charlie, while we're on that subject, this past weekend, I had to go up to the Kingston City transfer station, and while I was there, Bart Robbins said to me, "We need the grinder badly." I said, "Have you called Charlie Whitaker and seen about getting it up here?" He said, "No, but I will." So expect a call from him.
Yeah, but I don't deal with Bart, Charlie, and I won't deal with Bart. I deal with the superintendent, Ed, and I did speak with Ed while I was away.
Ed Norman.
So, yeah, Bart's just a...
I understand that, but he brought the message to me.
Yeah.
Very good. May I continue?
Sure.
But Ed did call me, just so you know. He called me when I was when I was away, so I told him I would contact.
Is it readily available?
Not well. I guess there's other towns in place, and I can't grind everything they have. They have a lot of stuff that would hurt my grinder, and I'm only gonna do what the storm did. They have to figure out the rest of that mess, and Ed, I met with Ed already to talk about that. So we'll do what we can, just like we do for everybody. But I'm not gonna risk my grinder. That's a very important machine.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Sorry, Ange, continue.
That's okay. All good stuff. So I was just going to explain that New York State DEC announced a new grant program on May 2nd. It's a municipal funding project for food scraps recycling initiatives. There's $2 million in the pot available to fund projects that create or expand programs to increase residential food scraps recycling. And the first half of this funding is dedicated to eligible projects that use 50% of its funding to serve environmental justice communities. The max grant amount is $200,000 per project, and this offers a 75% match. So we want to go for this. As you may be aware, for the past 2.5 years or so, I've been conceptualizing a pilot project for municipal micro-hauling service option that is closely modeled after a very successful program in Tompkins County, New York. That consists of a network of enclosed trailers that facilitate food scrap drop-off, collection, and transport from transfer stations to compost sites in Tompkins County. I believe this project is a really good model that we could consider replicating and would really fill a service gap in our organics recycling program. So the project would facilitate access to residential collection of food scraps and foster intergovernmental coordination that maximizes resource recovery, eliminating this obstacle, right, of how to connect the dots from point A to point B. So as I mentioned, I really want to go forward with this funding, and I want to start working on that immediately. So in an effort to assure that we would have board support, I'd like to suggest maybe a special meeting of the Zero Waste Committee as an opportunity for me to kind of elaborate more about the project and the grant opportunity.
Is there a timeline on it, Angie? Does it have to be in by a certain time?
This grant is available on a first come, like first in, first out basis. It's a highly competitive grant in that nature. And as I had stated, the first million that gets awarded is only going to go to projects that target environmental justice communities or have half of their service area and funding go to environmental justice communities. So this project, I think the max timeline is 3 years, but you know, I would like to get this ball rolling as soon as possible. So there's not a hard deadline between now and 2024, but I think we can get a really good proposal together very soon because, as I mentioned, I've been working on this for a couple of years.
We don't have to piggyback on the county for this, do we?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
No. We're eligible as a public authority, so there's no pass-through.
Just making sure.
Grant.
And who's on the Zero Waste Committee? And then I am. Who else is on it?
I think I am.
Just the two of us.
There's three.
Tom, are you going to have time for it? And I'm available to meet virtually as well, if that's easier for you.
Okay, great.
Or if you think that's necessary, but I just, it's a big project, you know.
Sure.
A 75% match would be considerable, so that's only 25% that we would have to put funding towards, but it's a big, it would be a big service add-on for us, so.
And how much you, generally, what are you thinking of asking, what do you want to do? How much money do you want, and what do you want to do with it?
That's what I would kind of elaborate on in a special meeting. Yeah, I don't have the details of that in front of me right now.
I'm busy now, but I definitely make time for that. Sounds great.
It is Margot, Catherine, and Tom.
Okay.
How would you go about meeting the environmental justice criteria?
There are maps available, so as long as we can show that the effort to target those communities, then that's satisfying.
Does it have to be 50%?
It's actually broader than you would think,
yeah,
and not fully settled. What constitutes a DAC? Still in process through the Climate Advisory Council, but I was surprised to find that the Village of New Paltz also qualifies.
Sovereignty's probably also.
So it seems like they've made it broader than narrower.
We have maps from the GIS study.
Right.
Yeah, there are maps
specifically are in that study, so we actually do have a map, but I was just wondering, would it have to be like a 50% by area or by population?
50% by the funding request, by the funding amount, will be dedicated to environmental justice communities.
Okay.
In order to make the proposal more competitive, that's a requirement of it.
Okay.
So the first half of that million will go to those projects.
I think we can figure that out.
Yeah, I think so too.
And you hit all the major population centers. I mean,
the major population centers are the ones that
would
fit in there.
This
to that.
Get the best use.
Great. So
we will follow up on an email and see what makes sense for that.
Yeah, great.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I can be available virtually as well.
Great.
And to close my update, I'm really pleased to share the final finished product of our 6-month-long collaboration with SUNY Ulster. We reached out to them seeking support on the creation of a new educational video. And we became clients for the students in Art 263 Design 3, which is facilitated by Sean Nixon, the professor of art and applied learning at SUNY Ulster. So the video I'm going to play was created by student Jeremy Ward, with a high level of direction and advisement by our recycling outreach team. And I hope you enjoy it. It's about 3 minutes long.
The UCRRA has been proudly serving Ulster County for over 30 years with our mission, which is to protect public health and the environment and promote sustainable materials management by managing Ulster County's waste with a focus on resource conservation. And as you can imagine, that's a very tough job. There's a lot of hazards in this type of work environment. There's a lot of hazardous things that people put into the trash, but our staff here takes a lot of pride in our mission to make sure that this waste is managed in an extremely environmentally sound manner. There's so much more that we can do to maximize the amount of waste that we can reduce and recover through other ways. And I think it's really important for us all to be mindful about our consumption. One of the huge things that you can do to be more sustainable with your waste is to recycle often and recycle correctly. Every ton of recycling is estimated to save 2.7 tons of carbon dioxide. So it's a huge environmental impact. We throw things away, and even the language that we use to describe garbage is like, get it as far away from me as possible. People think garbage is smelly and gross and disgusting, but what we're really just throwing away is like stuff. Packaging and broken things that don't work anymore, clothing that we don't fit in anymore, right? That's what we're talking about with garbage, is raw materials that can be used for something else, trying to get people to really like rethink what it is that they're doing when they're throwing something out. Another type of recycling is composting, right? When we're taking things that are natural materials like food scraps and yard waste and anything that came from a plant or an animal can be recycled through composting. This is something everyone can do and see how it works, right? You don't have to have a lot of equipment and a specialized facility and sort everything out. You can do this type of recycling right in your own backyard. Why is composting so important to us? Well, it's true that 40% of the food that's grown in America is never eaten. That's almost half of the food that we grow that goes to waste. So this is a large amount of food that's going to waste that could be feeding hungry neighbors. So we have to get better as a society at participating in this type of recycling. And we're really proud of our contribution to this. At UCRRA, we operate a industrial scale composting operation where I like to say we've been transforming trash to treasure since 2012. Our generation is definitely going to be a key player to moving the dial more towards sustainability, because this is our future, right? And we can make it a really sustainable place for future generations.
That's very good.
Thank you so much. And yeah, got to thank Sue Mielster, Sean Nixon, and Jeremy Ward for their work on this project. The video is produced at no cost to us and will certainly be a teaching tool that we're going to use a lot.
You can bring it to the schools, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do plan to play the video for the beginning of presentations. We'll be greet visiting groups for tours, have it obviously posted on our YouTube, on our website, social media, and yeah, I hope you enjoy it, because I know we'll certainly enjoy it for a very long time.
This was part of a class project.
Art 263, Design 3.
How could we recognize them and thank them?
There is a credit at the end of the video and in the description of the video. And so, you know, that's kind of part of the perk of working with them, is now we can recommend this project for other organizations so that they can keep busy next semester as well.
Right.
Right.
You did a good job.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Great job,
Ange. I'm glad you made it.
Always good news. Okay. How about the MSW tonnage report?
So April, we did 12,825 tons of MSW, 266 tons of sludge. We were once again over our target tons on MSW, a little short on the sludge. Year-to-date, MSW, we're still up over 6.7% of our budget. Sludge, we're under by about 2 loads. So that's good news. On the recycling side, I wanted to point out our e-waste. You'll see that there was an uptick where we essentially doubled the first 3 months. And that's mainly because we started the program up on Saturdays again for collections. The first 3 months were what was essentially diverted out of the transfer stations.
I have a question about e-waste.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very big, like, plotter that prints out, you know, it uses white paper and it prints, you know, this kind of ink and stuff. Is that e-waste? Can I bring it to us? It's broken. I can't fix it.
Well, it's not broken in pieces. It's broken, you can't use it, right? Yeah, no, you can bring that. It's a printer.
Okay.
Printer, right?
It's very large. I mean,
yeah,
it's long and this high. And
you can bring it.
Okay. Would it be okay to take it apart and bring it?
No, I would just bring it as a full piece.
Won't fit in your car, would it?
No. Once I took the oven to have him fix it, and I took it off the stand, so it's easily the actual busy part comes off of the stand, but the whole thing is big. I'd have to put it in my truck to bring it, which I could do that.
We try to refrain from taking anything broken because of the hazardous waste and e-waste. Mm-hmm. So I probably would send Geo into a...
Yeah, we always say nothing disassembled or components of broken glass, because it's a safety issue for the staff to have to lift it, move it, palletize it, shrink wrap it, and all that. So.
But it qualifies. Excuse me.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Here we go to recycling tonnage report.
Oh, I just did that one. I rolled right into the next one.
Yep. Treasury report.
Okay.
Month of April, we did 8,864 tons of MSW, 3,961 tons of C&D, and I'm going to speak a little later about the MSW and C&D tons as well. For the month of April, line item miscellaneous revenues, you'll see is higher, $42,645. We're part of a dividend program through our carrier, and they run about 9 months after the policy year. So we received our dividend, which was about 50% of the premium for the 2020-2021 policy year, and that totaled $41,556. Total revenues for the month, $1,730,723. Down on the expense side, personnel was up $356,673 because it was April was a 3 payroll month. Admin expense, $52,526, related to final billing for the financial statement audit of $7,500, and our new phone system install of $6,120. MRF operations, $28,446, related to baling wire of $8,060, and eddy current belt repairs from when our MRF was down last month, $15,679. Vehicle and equipment maintenance repairs, $29,844, related to our L110. We had a bucket bracket plate replaced, and the machine was in regen for $15,250. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,565,187. Net operating revenues of $165,536. Our mini excavator purchase was under capital outlay for $87,000, so we had a fund balance for the month of $78,536, which puts us at a net deficit for the year of $1,409,725. If you average that out for the rest of the year, if we end up around positive $176,000 a month, we'll break even. So that's actually a pretty good number. So we're so far so good. Questions?
I'll move on.
Second?
Where are the questions first, and then we'll hear a motion.
You guys can always reach out to me and ask questions.
Okay.
Whatever, too.
Now, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Charlie.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
MRF cost center analysis for April. Total sale of recyclables for the month, $70,430. So we had another good month down at the MRF. MRF MSW, MRF glass was $5,045, and we had to pay to get rid of our other glass, which we used to get rid of in Greene County. So that was $5,805 this month. So total transport and disposal was $10,850. Net revenue for the month, $59,580. Personnel expenses, as I stated before, it was a 3 payroll month, so $65,919. Operating expenses, $31,566, because we had some costs related to the baling wire, as I had stated. Total personnel and operating, $97,045, so we did have a net loss for the month of $37,905, but year-to-date, still a positive $11,035. So
that's good. That's
good for the
month. Yeah, I was
going to
say.
For sure.
So on the graphs, the prices are still doing pretty good.
Except yeah.
The glass.
The glass is glass.
Yep. Good.
Charlie, do you happen to know what that, how many tons that $5,800 represented?
You're paying what, $73 a ton, right?
$75 a ton.
Was it 75 or did we get on to 73?
It was 75. About 77 ton.
Okay.
We usually do what, like 550 ton of glass a year, I think?
We do about 500 tons of the MRF glass, which is bad. We generally wait till we have about 6-7 town boxes and then we just put them in dump trailers and take it down, which is one of the reasons why we purchased the dump trailers, because we knew this was going to happen. I honestly thought that Tom might be going to Pennsylvania with some of this glass, because I reached out to some folks in Pennsylvania, but nobody's got their act together yet. End up in Albany.
Okay. Here we are at administrative matters. And we have the resolution. Number 2566. Approving the Fourth Amendment to the Solid Waste Management Agreement with the Town of Ulster.
So I had sent this out for everybody's review. I had also forwarded along to Supervisor Quigley to review with his town board as well. This amendment is essentially making changes to, I think it's just Section 6, if I recall. Section 3, I'm sorry.
3.
And really, it's creating a new agreement that's going to go out 20 years. We're adjusting our payment in lieu of taxes as well. That $4,000 payment had always been the same since 1996. And then we've also purchased the two adjacent properties as well. So it was, I think it was more than a fair request. And we'll have annual increases of about 2%, which isn't that much. And then the host community, so that'll be 20 years based on, we agreed to and it wasn't explicit in the past, it just referenced the Albany region, and there's no CPI Albany region. So even trying to utilize the old calculation based on that, you couldn't do it. So, you know, Jim and I came together and actually listed the series ID right in the contract. So that way, if any that something happens to that, we can just go find another one. But at least it's explicit now. And the first 2 years of the agreement is going to be discounted for us at 15%. And the first payment on this will actually go out in June for the December through May timeframe, because we're in 6 month, two payments a year, 6 month. Section, we'll call it. And that's really it. I think it's appropriate. I think it's a good deal. So
move that we approve the resolution.
Second.
We'll do a roll call vote on this. Catherine Beinkoffner.
In favor. Yes.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Tom Candace.
Yes.
James Gordon.
Yep.
Margot Becker.
Yeah.
Okay. Passes 5-0.
New business. Waste stream diversion at the transfer station.
Yeah, so I just wanted to brief you guys on some items we have noted, some small changes we had made within the, we've noticed in the waste stream changes we made in the diversion, and Charlie will get into the diversion aspect of things. Really, from a diversion standpoint, I'll just take that first, it's more of a matter of putting our eyes on something, more eyes, more focus. You know, Larry's got his eyes on it as well from a truly a different viewpoint coming from the DEC. And we're just identifying more streams, you know, on the floor. And the workers are busting their tails down there, too. And they're to be commended. Charlie has commended them and brought them over and actually shown them the difference that they're doing. On my end, I had noticed last month that the C&D that was under our pay-as-you-go customers, it seemed to always be C&D, C&D, C&D. And I started thinking to myself that I felt like at some point the C&D should have plateaued on my report with people moving into the county. So me, Charlie, and Larry had put our heads together discussing about, well, from a DEC standpoint in reporting, what constitutes C&D?
An angel, too.
Angel as well. Yeah, you're right. And what constitutes C&D, what constitutes MSW? How does what we do day in and day out, what we want to get more and more accurate for DC reporting purposes, but for our purposes as well, when we're figuring out what do we have and what are we going to do with it? I joked around earlier today that it's like we're doing an actual feasibility study for ourselves. At least that's where we're starting. So
when we did that, and Charlie had said, you know, the open tops come in from the towns, and we always look at the loads and call it out. So 50% MSW, 50% C&D. It was an estimate when it dumps on the floor. And so we decided to, and him and Angel and Larry, you know, spoke to the workers and said, let's start calling in more of the stuff, you know, your pickup trucks or your pickup trucks with the trailers, and start getting more specific with the loads. And I actually, so for, this started on May 6th, so I went back and ran numbers for January 1st through May 5th. And the percentage of the tonnages that you see, 95%, and I'm only talking about the pay-as-you-throw customers. I was just keeping it real simple when I first looked at it. 95% was essentially coded as C&D. Well, from May 6th through May 25th, it's almost a 50-50 split between C&D and MSW. And I think that's going to help us from a reporting standpoint and being more accurate, which is one thing. And then from us, as we all learn about what's in our waste, we're doing it firsthand. We're not relying on, say, what New York State approximates or another county approximates or the entire country approximates. We're getting our own real numbers, so that's really good. It's what, 3 weeks here? So, I mean, I'm not going to take anything and allocate it back and look at it until probably I have at least 12 months of data. But you got to start somewhere, as I had said. And then I'll turn it over to Charlie, because this is I think it's pretty incredible what we're doing down there, because every 35 tons or so that we divert, right, that's a tractor trailer off the road. You know, that saves us $2,800, you know, just by doing more. And it allows us to determine if this is truly, if we can truly isolate and divert more of this material this way, it can lead to, okay, how can we make it even bigger? Which is stuff that we've hinted at all together right here. So
what are you pulling out? What kind of materials are you pulling out?
That's what he's going to get into right now.
You know, I always say everything, you know, everything is about maintaining, right? You know, you can go out there and pull out all these things, but you need to do it day after day after day after day. You know, the folks have been programmed and trained very well on removing tires and propane tanks and fluorescent light bulbs and ballasts, and they do a pretty good job staying on that, just as well as these people in the scale houses on the tarps, trying to deter people from coming in with untarped loads that blow all along the roads. They do a pretty good job being consistent about it, so they maintain very well on that. And we notice it when I ran my scrap metal numbers here, yeah, they're maintaining really well. The scrap metal could be off a little bit, because you could have a full roll-off that comes in with 12 scrap metal, and you're gonna divert that out of the building. So when I started looking at the things that I think that we can capture more on, and I had Larry out there confirming it, it was more of a suspicion, some things that I've seen. I go over there and I try to show the folks, you know, this can be pulled out, you know, push it along the side if we're too busy, and go back at it at 3 o'clock when there's not so many people here, and try to get as much of these things as you possibly can. The main things that we felt we could capture more of was the clean wood, some rubble, but not much, and the cardboard. So we started putting our eyes on that, right, Larry?
Yeah.
And we started, once Larry's been over there, I came up with a diversion sheet for Larry to do spot checks at New Paltz and Ulster daily. And also I gave Angel permission to actually go down there and put her eyes on it when Larry's not there. So she's looking at it, I'm looking at it, we have these diversion sheets. So I put something together for the board meeting today just to... And I, you know, certainly we're going really hard on things that we know that we're not getting enough of, such as the clean wood and the cardboard. So I looked at 6 months, right, the first 6 months in 2021, first 6 months in 2022, the last 7 weeks in 2000, the first 7 weeks in 2021, first 7 weeks, and
the two, previous 7 weeks.
Previous.
You're right. Sorry, you're right.
Do we have that chart? Or
4-1. Yeah, I'm sorry. More up to date. 4-1 to 525.
I'm going
to
make copies.
He
just brought it up.
I'll make copies. It's all right.
So 7 weeks and then the last 4 weeks. So the last 7 weeks, the last 4 weeks, and I use the same thing, you know, 2021. So you're looking at 4-1, 2021, to
5/25/2021 versus 4/1/22 to 5/25/22, and then 5/1/21 to 5/25/21, 5/1/22 to 5/25/22. So first 6 months, you're seeing on the scrap metal, you're seeing a plus 5 ton. The last 7 weeks, you're seeing a plus 7.43 tons of scrap metal. This is just Ulster, by the way.
Meaning this is the stuff you pulled out, the additional stuff you pulled out.
Yeah, an increase, yeah. But scrap metal, you know, again, it could be a roll-off that comes in and actually, you know, Tom knows, you know, that'll jump that
somebody
number up.
Somebody clears out a bunch of metal shelves from a warehouse.
That's, yep. So my I was right in assuming that we stay pretty consistent with tires, scrap metal, and stuff like that. But I use scrap metal to really look at that. So then I started looking at the car with the wood, right? So 6 months, right? January to May 25th, 2021. We did 2942 tons of wood. The same time period, we did 57 tons of wood, you know, so up 27 tons. And then I looked at the last 7 weeks, we're up 26 tons, and then up to 20. Ooh, sorry.
You preempted.
So I'm looking at the 6 months in 2022 on the clean wood, just Ulster, we're up 27 tons. So we went from 29, we went up from 29 tons to 57 tons. So that's plus almost 28 tons. And then I'm looking on the last 7 weeks, 2021, we did 14 tons. Last 7 weeks of this year, we did 40 tons, which is a plus 26 tons. And then I looked at the last 4 weeks, you know, in 2021, we did 8 tons. You know, in May 1st to May 25th, 2021, we did 8 tons of clean wood. May 1st, 2022 to May 25th, 2022, we did 30 tons. So we're up 21.64 tons. So that is stuff that we're missing all, you know, we've been missing. So our suspicions were correct.
And if I could jump in real quick. So you notice as it changes from the 6 months to 7 weeks to more recently the 4 weeks, the numbers are higher, even though it's a shorter amount of time, because there was a change in the way we were doing the operation, which lends itself to the changes we made are working, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. Hopefully those numbers will keep continuing throughout the rest of the year.
Do you feel that there's a lot more you can do with that? Like how?
So, you know, you have to be careful.
Yeah,
right?
there's this line, right?
Listen, nobody's going to get killed, you know, jumping after a piece of cardboard.
Sure.
You know, we're doing 12 vehicles every 15 minutes. I can't say that enough.
Right.
One really, really serious accident, none of this matters. It really doesn't. So we have to be careful. We have to make sure that people are working safe. I got to tell you, we had a couple of really hot 95-degree days. I went out and got a couple of cases of water. Some Gatorade for the guys, the folks, to make sure they had it. I went and bought, 4 or 5 bags of ice from Sam's Club to make sure they had plenty of ice. We're giving them extra breaks and stuff. So, you know, listen, we're not trying to kill people. We're just trying to build a routine, just like the tires, the propane tanks, the scrap metal, you know, just to start working a little bit smarter and try to capture more from the load. So how much can we get? We're going to do the best we can. You know what I mean?
It'd be good to understand, like, what, at some point, not immediately, but it would be good to understand, like, what's being left on the table, so to speak. Like, how much more could be done without pushing anything, without
fundamentally, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, that's fine. Go right ahead.
These facilities were not really designed for this activity and need to be redesigned to facilitate this activity in order to maintain the safety level.
So if you look, this is from today, right? So you can look and see you've got like 4 people out there picking. Now, we're not busy, but take notice of the doors. You got people pushing, dumping in all 4 of those doors and loaders going back and forth to the first and the fifth door, you know, those loaders weigh 52,000 pounds.
So no one is arguing
And I don't think you are. But you know, I don't want to become overzealous in trying to capture. I say to everybody, even when we hire new people, right, recovery is our first mission. But there's, you know, it's to the best we can do.
I'm saying is sometimes it's good to understand the numbers and there are reasons.
Listen, unless you're working in this industry, I could sit here for 2 hours and tell you what goes on out there. You truly don't know it until you do it.
Yeah.
It is the most incredible industry that you could be a part of. It's challenging. It's exhausting. You work under extreme conditions with the heat, the dust, the lice, the mice, the rats. It's tough. It's a tough business. So we will always do the best we can, and we will always strive for better, and we will always try to maintain, and that's all we can do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying I understand the numbers, and if you say we can't get more because of, I trust you.
I am not saying we can't get more. What I'm saying is we're going to do the best we can. Larry Rickey has been, how many facilities, Larry?
50.
How many years have you done that?
33 years.
Is there anybody doing these type of things?
No.
So the quantifying is helpful to me. Like this thing quantifies. Your chart quantifies. So I'm just saying when we can quantify, that's awesome.
Well, we talk about it.
Well,
if
we
can't measure it, right?
if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So one of this is what I was saying before, is when you realize the changes we're making and what we're doing while still, you know, being operating safely, is having an effect, and you can take that next step, and then ultimately get into, you know, justify what Tom is saying about redesigns something even bigger.
If you could quantify and say, our new procedures are, we're getting 50% of it off, but 50% we can't because our facility is not designed that way, that is a reason to redesign.
Yes, so I think what we'll be able to do as we continue doing exactly this, I think summer months would get tough because it gets so busy in the summertime, but certainly when we reach our downtime, you pick certain days in the winter when you know you're slow, I think you'll be able to do much more of that type of stuff.
Not to belabor this, but what kind of redesign would take? A lot of money?
It wouldn't be that building because of where it sits.
Yeah, you'd have to put up a whole new facility.
I would say there's a couple of things that facilitate this from broad experience. One is, to the extent DEC will let you do,
correct,
misters, lighting, including different daylighting, because one of the things that happens is somebody backs up to a door, the door is the main source of your light, now you have just this fluctuation in the light. So if you're picking on a floor and the light's changing, then all of a sudden you're more likely to trip over something, you can't see stuff the same way, so creating a consistency of conditions that facilitates picking is a big deal, right? And having space to move things to the side so you can manage always unloading safely as a priority, and
so a whole new building.
Moving, there has to be more caching space, if you will, in between receiving and ultimate disposal. Then you have an opportunity to work. Right now we have this much opportunity to work. What if you had that much opportunity to work? Permitted indoor space that's well lit and facilitates the activity is the number one thing. And we got the facilities that we got within the context of permits that we've got. So that's a process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you also got to remember when we talk about approval from the DEC, you know, MSW is off the table. So it can't be an MSW building. It's got to be a building where that's non-patriciable waste that we can actually divert something solid from. So that's that's what's got to be explained. You know, the regulations say you can keep C&D on the floor for 30 days. You can keep MSW on the floor for 7 days. Is that ever going to happen for us? No. Right, Larry?
Absolutely.
Never.
Do you want to explain quick what non-patriciable versus patriciable
waste is? Yeah, non-patriciable waste is something that doesn't grow microorganisms, something that doesn't feed off of something. So it's like couches, it's cabinets, it's dressers, it's furniture, it's stuff, mattresses, it's
mostly
stuff like
construction
that.
And demolition debris.
That's what it is. I think about it, Larry, I also think when I think of construction and demolition, regulations say 30 days. So I can't say mostly construction and demolition. I'd have to say non-patriciable because That's the 7 day. Yeah. They're not going to let me go 30 days with any kind of waste on the floor. No. So they may give me my 7 days that I want. And the other thing is, Tom brought up, and I want to touch on it, is you have to have a split on time. So 11 to 7. So we close at 3. So you have 4 hours where you can push these things up to, like, these push walls and take some modest machinery, like bobcats and tip dumpsters and stuff, and load these things out of the building and put them in the appropriate places where you're managing the waste, whether it's propane tanks over there, a metal box over there, and if there is any incidental petrichable waste, it's got to be covered in a box that's acceptable, you know what I mean, on an impervious surface by the DEC, you know what I mean, until we can actually move it into a trailer and to a landfill. So there are rules you have to play by. I want to say this to you, Margot. Just remember, Larry said to me one day, you know, we can get more over there. And I said, Larry, just leave it. You know what I mean? One broken finger, one broken arm is $50,000. You know what I mean? Insurance.
So I don't even care about the money. I care about the workers.
That's what
we
I'm talking about.
Them
that's
everyone
that's,
in this room is on board.
Well, I care about both, believe it or not. You know what I mean? Because truthfully, without insurance, you can't operate. So, you know, we want to be an insurable place. So I want to make sure that we're all understanding that we are always going to maximize what we can do. We're going to do the best we can, and we're going to work the safest possible. A lot of everything we talk about goes into training, retraining, and training. You know, I can't just go out and say this is what it is and expect everybody to understand it. I got to go out and remind them all the time. I have to go out and show them. I have to go out and work with them. I have to leave my office and actually do these things in order for these folks to understand. He knows it. That's why I have him doing it.
And Angel, too.
And Angel knows it, too. Angel's been out there doing it, too. So.
And once they know it, you got to remind them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not just today. Day after tomorrow, next week.
On a very regular basis.
You walk away from something too long, it goes back to the way it was.
I fully understand that.
Just an opinion based on what you asked earlier, Ken. You know, the ideal situation would be a diversion building.
Yeah.
Where we can take them.
I started to figure that out.
Floor, and like Charlie says, during operational hours, we can segregate. Once the public is not coming in, we can move the materials where it needs to be for its final destination. And, you know, one of the things that they kind of skipped over, but, you know, we should talk about, this material is not only what we're taking out of the waste stream and using it for cycling. You know, they paid a tipping fee to dump it here. We removed it from the waste stream. Now we reduced the trucking costs, the fuel costs. Everything, all of that is gone, and we're talking trucks worth of material, you know. So it is a win for the environment. It's a win for the agency. It's a win for the community.
And Marvel,
people like it. We got guys that show up that bring in loads of cardboard every week. An example would be like B. Fidens on Broadway. Every box that an appliance comes in, these guys twice a week come in, and we got the guys trained with clean cardboard that's not wet. They set it off to the side for us.
A lot of people leave the foam and the plastic inside the cardboard because they don't want to separate it, so they just throw it away. We deal with that too. But one of the other things I want to point out, and Tim and I talked about this, and so has Larry. So when you look at these numbers the last 4 weeks, 45, 64, 1072, 3001, 1758, and 6.30, and 338, right? It's over 100 tons. So that's 100 tons that you didn't pay $43 a ton to transport, $26 to dispose, and $93 in fuel on each one of those trailers divided by 35 a ton, that 100 tons. That's three trailers.
And you got a tipping fee for it.
I already included that to 26 a ton.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what it's all about, Margo. It's about recovery, and then we'll send all that stuff pretty much to the market with the exception of the clean wood
that we use here.
Which will also go into the food waste as a feedstock, which will go into our cell product such as compost.
Margo, that's the one question you're allowed to ask them today.
So, well, listen, there's more than just pulling something out. You have to have an end use for it. It has to be able to go somewhere. People don't understand that. I still have...
But we all understand that in the
show. Well, I'm not sure. I can't read everybody's mind to know what they understand. But, you know, you can't just go grab stuff because you think that there's a home for it and there's not. For a while, you're just going to be hoarding stuff and it's going to be a dangerous place. And he knows that.
Or it's wet, dirty, corrugated that... is dragging down your other stuff.
Contamination.
Right.
Moisture. So that's really what it's all about. It's all about putting it all together.
I just learned that.
Huh?
I just learned that on the cardboard. It was a B5 and load that I went down and looked at, too.
Yeah. So, Tim's helping us pull cardboard because we were just loaded at one point and needed help.
You know, I mean, at some point, we're not always going to see increases. When we do the best we can, we'll maximize the most we can, and you may see it level off at some point.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, like I said, we may put different eyes, different focus, made some changes, and we're seeing the effect. And we'll take it from there and keep updating you guys.
I still think there's tremendous potential at the transfer stations, that somehow we have to get them involved in diversion. We can only do so much here, but a lot can be done before it gets here. It's just like the grand, wonderful, imaginary resource reuse center.
I agree that
that's got to come out of the stream before it ever gets to us.
But we don't manage it.
They have to figure out what it is they want to do and where they're going to get it.
Catherine, I don't disagree with that, but we don't manage their places or their staff. You know, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
So the point is that we want to have those discussions before we decide that they're not drinking. Maybe they're ready to drink. We've got to have those discussions with them as much as we can.
Let me see everything I explained right here to you, that 100 tons, right? Shipping, disposal, right? Fuel cost, right? They gain those things too.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to tell them that. Anything that's not being put into a box, there's not a pull charge on.
But we do have to tell them.
Well, then,
and a fuel surcharge.
One of the things that she was talking about earlier that the Zero Waste Committee will meet on is will be a part of that. So we will be attaching that too.
So that actually, her project is an opportunity to start the discussion with the transfer station about food waste, but it expands beyond that.
Yeah, sure. But it's a start.
If towns start to see the financial benefit of separating the densest, heaviest part of the waste stream, I have no doubt that that will be an eye-opener for other opportunities.
Part of the problem with the transfer stations is, doing the separation there, they're complaining about a $90 pull charge from us. And I mean, like, if anyone else was doing it, private industry was doing it, it'd be a $200 pull charge. So, if they're adding if they're adding boxes to do diversion there, that's something we got to weigh on what the cost is going to be for them also.
Oh, but the guys who work there, they're always fishing things out that they see. My husband worked there when he retired, and he came home with some of the strangest, interesting things, which I still have. But that was just a few things. I mean, the stuff that there is a fair amount that actually get diverted. But if you have an effort going on and trying to do it better.
You also got to remember, there's only a few of them that are full-time, Catherine. Like, Worsen's full-time, New Paltz is full-time. Who else is full-time? Olive's not. There's not a lot of motivation. These are part-time employees. Mm-hmm. When these drop centers first came about, they were all full-time employees, full-time town employees.
Mm-hmm.
But, since then, they tried to cut it. Well, they did. They cut expenses to get down to part-time.
Right.
So these folks go in there, and it's just a supplement to whatever they're getting. So there's not a lot of motivation to save anything.
But the other aspect is, from my point of view, is about the recycling. I have a hauler that takes away my garbage and trash. They don't take my recycling because I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'm going to put it all together and then, whoops, probably going to wind up in a landfill. So I actually do go to the transfer station about once a month with the back of my truck full of recycling and put it in all the boxes.
But understand this, Catherine. These folks at the transfer stations, all the contamination that comes in that we call out, we charge them for, there's nobody going out to watch, so if they want to cut expenses, they can have a cleaner product at these drop centers.
Right.
And they don't go out and watch, they don't do it. They get charged, everybody sees the tickets and the bills that go to the town halls, but nobody has done anything about it. They just continue to have contamination, not inspect the loads. And so I can't see where somebody's going to go out and watch to look for something good that's thrown away that they're going to resell later on. They can't even do it with their co-mingle and their cardboard and their newspaper. Mostly co-mingle.
Just fair warning, I have a hard stop at 5:30.
Yeah, we still have some work to do.
Yeah,
we gotta get on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Tom.
Oopsie.
Excuse me.
So,
old business. Let's see.
Could we maybe put this to the end so that we can get to the work in the executive session?
I'm not going to talk about it long. I'm just going to say we got new email from them. I forwarded it to everybody for the videos. So apparently now they actually have a machine that makes those blocks. So what we have to do is figure out if we think we want to do that. We'd have to find out what it would cost and figure out how we would deal with getting the plastic. Because right now we only accept certain kinds of plastic.
Well,
but the blocks
will you take the lead on
that? Are made of every kind of plastic.
Will you take the lead on that? I'm figuring that out.
She's choking because you asked her that.
No. Well, I'm going to suggest if we're going to have a meeting as the recycling committee, let's
great.
Talk about it there.
Awesome. Thank
great.
You.
Great. That would work. Okay. Executive session.
Make a motion that we vote on resolution 2567.
Yeah.
Move. Second.
Kathy seconded.
Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
5-0 passes.
Okay, I'll remake my motion that we adopt resolution 2567 as written.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 5-0. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Next resolution?
2569.
Well, 68, I think we got it.
Yeah.
So we're on 68. So I'll move 2568.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
5-0.
You want to move the last one?
I will move the last one. Oh, no, you do it. You're the chair. Okay. You do that copy.
Second.
I'll move
2569. I'll second that.
Margo, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes 5-0.
Good work, everyone. Are we good?
We're good.
Can we motion?
Move to end the meeting?
Yes. Anybody
second.
Would?
Do I hear a motion?
Second, see you in a month.
Charlie, I mean, Tom moved it and Margaret.
All in favor?
Aye.
Go home.